Our reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I come at the same time. Can we just say a little prayer for Janet before she speaks to us this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for Janet and who you've made her. Bless her this morning as she speaks to us. Give her your grace to reveal your truth and love, and give us all ears to listen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Lizette. And Brenda, thank you very much for reading. Have you ever seen somebody with a really determined look on their face? Have you ever seen someone whose chin is up? "I'm going to be doing that no matter what." Have you ever seen a toddler that is so determined they are going to escape, or they're going to go and do whatever they want to do? I've seen various people with very determined looks on their face, and I've seen some this morning. I've seen people who've made an effort to get to church despite the rain and the winds. I've seen people who are over 90, over 100, determined, "I'm going to get to Christchurch this morning. Might be my birthday, it might be raining, but I am determined to come." I'm pleased that Barbara prayed for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, because when I look at Harry and Meghan, there's a determination there to lead a different life. We set our faces to do something. We're determined, "I am going to do that thing. I am not going to be put off. I am not going to be sidetracked. I'm not going to be tempted. There might be opposition to what I've decided I'm going to do, but I am determined." Jesus was determined. He set his face. So we come now to Luke 9, 51, and do follow the passage. It's printed on the sheets for you. This marks the exact halfway point through Luke's gospel. So from chapter 1 to chapter 9, we've heard and studied at the midweek about Jesus' birth, about his baptism, his public ministry, what he did in Galilee. And 9 verse 51 is the pivot, the changing point, where now he's finished his public ministry in Galilee and he sets out for Jerusalem. The next few chapters of Luke are all about that very long and winding journey from Galilee through Samaria via Jericho, and eventually he gets to Jerusalem. It says in verse 51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. As the time approached, it was the right time. It was approaching for him to die. He's not going to go up to heaven till after he's died, been resurrected, and then ascended into heaven. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. In the old versions, it says Jesus set his face. In Isaiah 50, there's a phrase about his face was like flint. You know, those sort of people, their face is set. I am determined. My face is set. So, Jesus is setting out to go to Jerusalem. And we're told he sent people on ahead to go and get things ready, but it was Samaria. And there was a long history of hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews. They were sworn enemies. And he faced opposition. They said, you can't stay here. You are not welcome. And the reason he was not welcome was they knew he was going to Jerusalem. And that's what the argument stemmed from. Where do you worship God? Is it in Jerusalem, as the Jews said, or was it on a different mountain, as the Samaritans said? I love the little bit we read about James and John, because we're so used to saints doing saintly things, aren't we? James, leader of the church in Jerusalem. John, who had the revelation, the beloved disciple. These wonderful saintly twins. And what do? They get so cross with the Samaritan villagers, they say to Jesus, can we call fire down from heaven to kill them? I want to zap them. They're opposing Jesus. Let's send fire down from heaven. It's a very Elijah-like thing they wanted to do. But Jesus says, no. No, you cannot zap them from heaven with fire. Jesus turned, verse 55, and rebuked them. Just want to say that this is actually quite significant. It means Jesus doesn't want to zap people. He doesn't want to burn them with fire. He came to save people, not to punish them. He came to save people, not to hit them with lightning from heaven. There are some famous verses in John 3, 16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So at his first coming, Jesus didn't come to bring judgment, to bring fire on people who opposed him. He didn't come to force people to follow him or compel people to follow him. Jesus came to save people, to rescue people. And this idea of not forcing people to follow him and not punishing people who opposed him is seen in these three little encounters with would-be disciples. Jesus doesn't force these three people to follow him. He lays out terms and conditions. He warns them, discipleship, following Jesus, is not easy. You may face problems. So, verse 57, they're walking along the road. This period, it's called the travel narrative, so we hear all about this journey from Galilee down to Jerusalem. And Luke has put together lots of stories of teaching along the way. So first a man says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Sounds great, doesn't it? Why doesn't he just say, yes, come along, join me? Instead, Jesus says, foxes have den and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, no permanent home. If you follow Jesus, he says, you're going to face trouble. You're going to face suffering. No bed implies there's no permanency. The path is not easy. Life is not comfortable. We prayed earlier for Francesca Elloway. For many years, she was a missionary doctor in the Congo, and life was not easy. Imagine living thousands of miles away for years and years in a place where there's corruption, in a place where you don't have a power supply, in a place where you don't have flushing toilets, for years and years and years. It's not my world, I'm just a passing through, is the old song. Thinking about how hard it can be to follow Jesus, in the news some months ago was about a girl I want to tell you about called Leah. She's 15 and she's Nigerian. Leah Sharibu is her name. And she was a schoolgirl in a boarding school in Chibok in the north of Nigeria. And one day the Boko Haram came and they captured all these girls. It was a Christian school, they were Christian girls, and took them off. And they forced them to renounce Christianity and become Muslims. And every girl except Leah gave in. They renounced, I suspect, under extreme pressure. And Leah refused. She was 15. And they were very, very annoyed with her. And she has not been released. We don't know if she's alive. We don't know if she is dead. But if a 15-year-old girl in this day and age can say, no, I will follow Jesus, I will not renounce him. Let's go on praying for those who are persecuted. Let's go on praying for Leah and for others whose names we don't know, who have followed Jesus and it's caused suffering. But people suffer in this world too who follow Jesus. I can think of someone I know who worked at a church in Rochdale. Apologies if you come from Rochdale. I've been there. It's quite a tough northern town, and it's really, really hard for this Christian minister to live there, to work there. The salary is very low. There is a lot of opposition. It's not a nice place to have a vicarage or a church. Jesus says, follow me. So the second person in verse 59, he says, this time Jesus says, please follow me. But he replied, first, let me go and bury my father. Sounds reasonable to me. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Second person wanted to delay. He wanted to put it off. In the Jewish culture, you had to wait at least a year between the burial, and after the burial, you then dug up the bones and put them in an ossuary box. It was a way of delaying making that decision. We can put off decisions about following Jesus. I'll do it next year. I'll do it when I retire. I'll do it another time. But Jesus is saying, following me must be a priority. Even over other commitments. Follow me. Don't delay your decision. And then the third person in verse 61 says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Again, it sounds reasonable. But I think it's a half-hearted thing to say. Long drawn out goodbyes. This could take a very long time to say goodbye to every single relative. And Jesus says, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. He uses the image of a farmer with his plow. And if you're plowing, it's a bit like mowing the, if you've mown a lawnmower, you know how hard it is to keep it in a straight line? It was the same with a plow. And you try and keep the furrows straight. But if you keep looking back at this line you've mowed or the line that you have plowed up, it goes wibbly-wobbly. You go off course. It costs to follow Jesus. He says, if you lose your life, then you will gain it eternally. So all three of these people, the importance is stressed of absolute commitment to Jesus. No turning back. That call to follow Jesus to the end. Not everyone is going to end up being a martyr for their faith. Yes, it might still happen. It does still happen in India, in North Korea, in Afghanistan, in Iran. We might face a different sort of opposition or temptation. But Jesus calls us to follow him, to follow him to the end. He was resolute. He set his face. Are we resolute? We're going to finish, and I've asked Debs is going to sing to us. This is a treat. And I've asked her to sing an old song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It's a Christian hymn that originated in Assam in India. I think Assam is where the tea comes from. The lyrics are based on the last words of a man called Nok Seng, who was from a tribe in Assam. And these tribes were fairly primitive and aggressive headhunters, and missionaries went out there in the 19th century. So we're talking about 150, 170 years ago. And missionaries went out and told them the good news of Jesus. And this man called Nok Seng became a Christian. His wife did, his two sons did, and various other people in the tribe came to faith. And the chief got really cross, and the village chief said, renounce your faith. And the man says to him, I have decided to follow Jesus. They then killed with a bow and arrow his two sons. And they said, renounce your faith. But he continued, though no one join me, still I will follow. They then said, we'll kill your wife too. And they killed his wife. And then finally he said, the world behind me, the cross before me, as they killed him. Story goes that the chief then was converted, amazingly, and the chief then said, what faith has this man got? He cares so much about Jesus who died 2,000 years ago. What is it? And he too came to faith. I have decided to follow Jesus.